Thanks to Kurz Hire, we are back. The Cat Attack podcast. It's being done a little bit differently. Social isolation or whatever it's called. We have to observe it. And I've been trying to get away from this bloke for years, and it's actually finally worked. It took a pandemic to do it. But hello, Ben Castagnoli.
Yes, Kingy. It is unbelievable circumstances with which we bring you the Cat Attack podcast. And goodness me, there's a bit of isolation going on. And do you know what I've discovered during isolation?
What's that?
You know the number one thing that I think a lot of people are doing during isolation? Reiki.
Reiki?
Yeah, so the art of self-massage, you've just got to make sure that you're supple during isolation. it's an absolute critical element of being locked up is that you're nice and supple. There's another word that we don't use often enough, Kingy, supple. Add that to ointment and spasm.
How much are you missing footy after the fact that they teased us with 1 week and then decided to pull the pin? We were on air doing Hawthorn and Brisbane, and halfway through the second quarter we start getting word that, we won't be calling footy for a while.
Yes, well, it was a little bit flat there in that second half of that game, wasn't it? Knowing that footy was off and off indefinitely. Yeah, look, it's left an enormous void, and none more so than on the sports news, because I love watching the sports news now, because all I'm doing is finding out things from Stephen Quartermain that aren't happening. This might happen down the track. This is going to happen. This is being called off. There's actually no sport. I think it's time that the networks actually gave up their sports report, because there is actually no sports to report on. But we are missing the footy, and looking forward to coming back. Who knows when that will be, Kingy? But it sounds like the AFL are desperate to have some sort of season, even if that was to be seriously condensed in the back half of the year. So I think the last things you'll hear from the AFL is that the season is off altogether. They'll hopefully find a way, once we're through this mess, to have some sort of season. How that will look, we have absolutely no idea, but looking forward to it at some point later on in 2020.
How much would you like to be doing the Kurz Hire stats on grand final day on New Year's Eve?
No. No, look, that's hopefully that's not the case, because New Year's Eve is a night where you get together with family, you stay hydrated from early on in the afternoon, and then you hydrate into the evening, and then you usually, around about 11 o'clock, you're exploding some dip in, and then at about 12 o'clock, you hug and kiss a few friends and family, and then you're still going around about 4 o'clock. So the footy would just get in the way of that, and I'm not a fan of anything on a big occasion. Let's not play footy on New Year's Eve.
All right. Knowing you and how well I know you over the years, that you would probably be disappointed if it was to compromise anything to do with the four-legged runners come November.
Oh, well, they're still going. This is if that goes off, Kingy, I could have to just get under the bed because the equine thoroughbreds are still strutting their stuff. Well, not in Tasmania.
No.
They're off, so the four-legged, the rats on stilts are off in Tasmania as well, and there are also no lion tamers. So disappointing that the press release didn't refer to them as rats on stilts, lion tamers, and the equine thoroughbreds off in that press release. But we've still got something to watch on the couch, and this tomorrow, on Saturday, is going to be huge up there in Sydney. There's some big race meetings going on up there.
It's a Doncaster tomorrow, isn't it?
It is. It is, so get your helmet on for that. Mm. But I have thought of an option. So if racing does go off altogether, yes, which is a distinct possibility given the current climate, what needs to happen is that the cartoons they have, the cartoon greyhounds and harness and thoroughbreds they have, when you do explode into your TAB, they need to be put on racing.com, and you need to be able to launch some Bugs Bunny through the betting apps onto those things.
What about if they brought back Wacky Races, with Dick Dastardly and Penelope Pitstop, and you actually had to bet on that episode's race.
Well, I don't know. Well, that could be an option too. I don't know whether any of the Cat Attack podcast listeners heard John Vertigan's call down there at Warrnambool. I think he did it with. If you haven't heard that, get on YouTube. But it's very, very amusing. It's an isolation quarantine type race call, and there are some very amusing horse names in that call.
All right. We haven't spoken about the Cats since they played against GWS. I think we've forgotten, and the results are relevant. 32 points. It'll only become relevant, that result, if Geelong missed the finals by a game, but by the sounds of it, they might have a 12-team final series as it is, so that's that might be by the by. But the Cats just were probably a half a step behind the Giants most of the night.
Yeah, they were. They were half a step. And, I mean, the thing, I suppose, is, and you've got to look at it all in its entirety in terms of what this season will mean for the Cats. What it means is there's a number of players there that we were thinking that this was definitely going to be their last year. Now, I know that players now will trot out the line I'm fresh and that I didn't play this year. There's one thing, you know, the only thing on the planet, Tingy,
mm-hmm.
the only thing you cannot defy
mm-hmm.
is gravity.
Yes.
And gravity grabs us all by the boo-boo each year and drags us ever so closer to that grave. And those players are going to be 1 year older. So it's going to be really interesting if the season goes ahead at all. Those players with the Cats, how the team looks for next year, because it's unfortunate. The players like Ablett, Taylor, you know, there's a whole host of them that were probably having one last crack at it. Will they get that crack? Maybe. I don't know how that list would look in 2021.
No, absolutely. And the talkies are going to cut lists as well, potentially to 35, although some clubs have already got more than 35 players contracted for next year, so that might make it a little bit tricky. But, yeah, the Cat... You hope we haven't seen Ablett and Taylor for the last time, just for the romance of it, but there's every chance we have.
Well, the one thing I will say that when there was a little bit of talk, and I was sort of included, the murmurings after Gary Ablett's couple of average efforts in the pre-season competition, he actually played quite well against GWS, particularly in the first half.
Mm.
He had a little crucial fumble at a crucial time late in the game that was at a pivotal, a momentum shift, but certainly not going to hang him on that. But I thought he was quite good, Ablett, in that game, quite creative. So that was a good sign, yeah. But you're right about the Cats being sort of half a yard off. They did set up some chances. I mean, GWS didn't miss anything. They did not miss a thing. Yeah. So
7-8-3
in terms of in front of that certainly helps when you're kicking that straight. But the Cats had their chances, particularly in the second quarter. They dominated the second quarter. But it was a good workmanlike or pretty clinical effort from the GWS.
Mm. You keep your ear close to the ground. Do you think we'll play footy this year?
I spend a lot of time on the ground, Kingy. I don't know if my ears are close to it. There's usually other regions that are reasonably close to it too, because I've done a little bit of been in the charger a fair bit in this isolation period, and just reacquainted myself with sort of the getting out of the fart sack around about 9:30. A little bit of Nutri-Grain and just dawdling into the day, and there's no rush. It's just fantastic. But yeah, so my ears aren't always to the ground. But what was your question?
Do you think we'll play this year?
Oh, I have no idea, Kingy. That'd be like asking me what are the Cats Lotto numbers, and I'll text those through to you after this podcast is over. But I have absolutely no idea. We are in the midst of a pandemic. And I mean, if you had have rung your local betting agency last, let's say, October, and said that AFL season will not go ahead as planned because of a pandemic, could you imagine what odds you might have got with your odds boost?
You may have got
500,000 to 1, I reckon.
And the rest.
Well, and you only have had a little fiver on it,
yeah.
And you would have absolutely cleaned up. There'd be no. Do you know what else? You know what else I love too about this. Well, I don't love anything about it, but there's always humorous things come up in times of challenge, and I love using the word stimulus. there's a stimulus package for everyone, and I suggested at home that there needed to be a little bit more of a stimulus package, and that I got poo-hooed. So anyway, I'll have to just go back to the... I'll have to keep myself satisfied with the government's stimulus package.
I hear the social distancing forced you out into the garage.
Yeah, well, that's where I usually am. So I'm actually next door now. I've had to get further away. I've had to build another wing on the ranch just to keep me in isolation.
The other question I've got for you, Benny, is how will you, with your habits, live off $1,500 a fortnight?
Well, Kingy, this is a challenge. This is going to be one of the great challenges. I don't know how I'm going to do that at the moment, to be honest with you. No racing in Tassie will help, but until they cut racing altogether, I've just had to halve your bets. So halve your bets, everyone. If you're still on the Rexan, halve your bets. Make sure the kids have got some sustenance for the day, and then just get your form guides out and relax during the afternoon.
Gamble responsibly, always.
Yeah, all as always, Kingy. That's what we need. As always.
Benny.
Have we got any other questions?
Yes, Daz Broncos. Daz Broncos. Are you still on the Joe Burrow train?
Well, I actually was going to say, I was thinking last night that you need something to keep you going in these tough times. There's got to be a little ray of hope. There has to be something.
Can we put a little perspective around this? Joe Burrow, of course, from Louisiana State, played in the college football championship game. Should go pick number one to your very ordinary Cincinnati Bengals. Is he going there?
110% he is, King. It's only 22 days until Roger Goodell, through some sort of live stream, it will be. The NFL draft is definitely going ahead. They're not pulling the plug on that. No. They're going to have to do it, obviously, very differently. The clubs are going to... Even the clubs now, with the process of interviews pre the draft, they're all doing them on FaceTime, and they're only allowed to FaceTime players for a certain amount of time, and they're only allowed to FaceTime them a certain number of times in lead up to the draft. So that's definitely going ahead. But Burrow will be, look, it's going to be very, very exciting. My Bengals have had more bad luck over the years, but this year they picked a really, really good year to be crap. And that's my ray of hope that, In 22 days, Roger Goodell just says, and with the first pick in the NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow. And that will be a strides down moment, Kingy. There haven't been too many of them lately, but that will certainly be a pants round down your ankle sort of arrangement.
Also from Daz Broncos, given the club was nearly debt-free first time in 50 years, does this mean that we are better placed overall in that going into debt this time will be of a lesser impact than those clubs further in it already? Well, I think that answers itself for Daz Broncos. The Cats, put it this way, if it had have happened 20 years ago, you and I wouldn't be standing here talking about the Geelong Football Club.
No, we wouldn't be. Look, you just can't fathom the amount of money that this is going to cost clubs and the AFL. I mean, the AFL have announced those enormous loans that they've been able to secure. I mean, that's just to prop the game up. The clubs are receiving no income. Club members now are wanting their memberships back, and rightly or wrongly, you could probably argue both sides there. It's just unfathomable.
I don't think you can argue both sides here. If somebody wants their membership back for something they're not going to receive, surely in these times you just give it back to them.
Well, you do. Correct. I mean, the thing about it is, if you can afford it, there are people out there who can afford it. True. So you've got to try and support your club. I mean, I'm obviously involved with the Barnes Valley Golf Club, and we're trying to get members to support the club, because you have to have a club to come back to.
Correct.
That's part of the issue. So I wholeheartedly agree with you. If you're absolutely struggling, but if those members who can afford to keep their money in, then you've got to do that just to try and support your club, so that you do have a club to support and cheer when we come out of this. And I mean, Geelong is sort of one of those clubs that are, they're not, well, I suppose every club is perilously placed at the moment, but they're not as perilously placed as clubs like Brisbane and St Kilda. But how they emerge financially from this is anyone's guess, but it's going to be in tatters, and they're going to need to be propped up for a considerable period of time, I would have thought, just so they can find their feet again.
The game almost resets off this, doesn't it? It won't be the same as what we've had up until round one, 2020.
That's right. Everyone's probably had it too good. This is a reality check. All those you know, potentially those, and I've heard a few people within footy talk about those people that justify their jobs within footy clubs. I reckon those number were growing by the year, and I think it's time that some of those got cut, and this is obviously a time where they have been cut, and I don't know that clubs will ever go back to them. Mm. Well, not in the short term anyway, simply because they won't be able to afford to.
Yep.
So it is a reality check, a good chance to reset, and that's not just footy clubs. I think that's probably, you know, lots of businesses and lots of things within society that will have to reset and reevaluate and do things differently. And look, if that is some good to come of it, then you know, so be it, because you sort of got to try and find some positives now, because there's no end in sight right at the minute.
Cat is 28. Just wondering what your thoughts are on the pay dispute between the AFL and the players in particular. What did you think of the way in which the players, such as Patrick Dangerfield and Jack Revolt, spoke about the issue?
Oh, look, I don't know. Look, it's always going to happen when you're talking about somebody's livelihood, and that's the player's livelihood. People jump up and down because they are seen to be on good wages, which they are, but... you know, a lot of them, that's it for them. The reality is that there's not a lot else for some footballers who refuse to get off their arse and do other things. They have footy and that's it. They don't set themselves up. And to have that swept under the carpet or swept out from under your feet in an instant, there was always going to be some negotiation and some prolonged negotiations to ensure that players got a reasonable deal. And anybody in any business is going to do that. It's just the way of the world. You're not just going to walk away and somebody says, you've got to take an 80% pay cut, and you have the capacity to have a voice that says, well, hang on, no, we're not accepting that. We want X, Y, and Z. You're going to go to the table and try and get the best possible deal. That's just the way of the world. And look, they're going to take a hit. And you feel for, I mean, let's just say for somebody, for example, like Geelong's Brad Close, who comes to the Cats as a 20, I think he's 21, is he, from South Australia?
Yep.
He's gone home, obviously. I think he was living with Jake Colajasny. What happens to his one-year deal? Does that get extended? There's so many permutations and computations. How's that, Kingy? Permutations and computations. Add that to supple as some highlights from the Cat Attack podcast. But there's so many variety of things that need to be talked about. And Brad Close is just one little microcosm. What happens to his one-year deal? Yeah. He didn't really get to play. Does he get another one next year?
Yeah.
You'd think the Cats probably will, but they're probably within their rights not to.
Yeah. The goalposts have moved, unfortunately, and they've moved from basically where they were aligned running at Cadinia Park north-south to now running sort of from, you know, the Peter Street stand pocket to the scoreboard in the Brownlow stand.
Yes, correct, Wade. The other thing too, can you go the other big news overnight?
No, what have I missed?
Well, I don't know you would have missed it, King. You're across everything there, particularly now that you've slightly changed your role and they've pushed you up forward in a more of a demanding newsroom sort of role now. You've lived a sort of an easy life there in the back pocket. Now suddenly you're centre forward. You would be all across this, but... And I used to grow up in this suburb, and the old illegal brothel, now in Belmont.
Right, yes.
Was shut down because of traffic issues out the front.
Yes.
Now, so they had every service, they covered every service except the valet parking. Had they had a valet parking man out the front, this business may still be going under the noses of the constabulary. Instead, they failed to provide parking for the customers, who then, after receiving their non-essential service, had to trundle back to their family sedan, which was located maybe 400 or 500 metres away, and then they got done. So I did laugh, though, that somebody in one of the news reports mentioned that think somebody may have been done for receiving a non-essential service. Now, look, I don't know. You could do he was seen debating that with the policeman for hours on end.
Oh, Ben. Oh, dear. I'm moving on from this. Do you know that on Sunday we are on K-Rock playing the 2007 Grand Final?
Are we?
We are.
Well, I was on the boundary for that game, Kingy, and I think, you know, one of the things I remember from that game is saying that Cam Mooney had come from the field halfway through the second quarter to check the temperature, the champagne, because the Cats were home. Because he came off the field and he went down the race. He obviously had some little injury they were looking at. And I suggested that he was just gone down there to check the fridge and the champagne was at the right temperature because the corks were about to pop. After Bartel kicks that goal on the left, where he sort of pivots Srupni Bit style and just nails it from about 40 metres, the Cats were absolutely home. And it was that was one of those strides down sort of moments, Kingy. So I really look forward to that. What time is that happening?
I think 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. So Cameron Ling's going to join us at half time of that game to give us an idea of how he was feeling at half time of that game.
Right.
So, yeah, we've asked him.
Are we having a pre-game?
No, we're not. I'm doing a little bit of a preamble, and then I'm throwing to Mitho and Chuck to call all the action. And I think Mickey Turner and Busey and Mickey Mansfield were in the box that day, and the snake, Pete Pearson, was on the HB.
Oh, his HB pencil would have been reasonably rigid for that.
Yes. Even being an Essendon man, he would have thoroughly enjoyed that, I reckon.
He would have. He's deep down. He was a Cat. He just liked the Cats. And but look, that was the drought breaker, wasn't it? It was sort of an anti-climax in the end. The game was all over. Like I said, halfway through the second quarter. And to win in that fashion, my favourite granny probably was the win against Collingwood. I reckon
2011.
Because I thought the Cats were gone.
Yep.
Absolutely gone. And they probably weren't the best side that year.
No.
09, I think they're probably the best. Well, St Kilda, you could argue, I suppose. But 0-11, they probably weren't quite the best side, but they found a way just to absolutely play their best. But look, they're all great. And it's been great to be part of that Cats. I mean, what an era they've had, really, over the last, 13 years.
Well, you go back to 04 when they made a prelim. Heartbreaking semi-final loss to Sydney in 05. They've only missed the finals twice since then. Taken us to numerous preliminary finals. It's been a fairly good ride over the past couple of decades down at the Cattery.
Yeah, it has. It's been a wonderful ride. It's a better ride. The only ride you'd get better than that, Kingy.
Yes.
Why are you laughing?
Because I don't know where you're going.
No, I've got a little wisp for punters tomorrow.
Yes. I was going to ask you if you had one for tomorrow.
I have. This is for your stimulus package. So if you're saying to the Trouble and Strife, what are you doing? She's asking what you're doing, saying, look, this is our stimulus package, a little bonus on top of it. Larimer Street tomorrow in the two-year-old race in Sydney, the English race.
Right.
It's currently, I think, 14 clams. It's a Trent Busserton horse who is absolutely on fire.
The Busserton Young Glenn Stable is going well, yes.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And G Boss is in the saddle. And it's about 14-1, so it's a very nice little each-way bet, I think. It'll 1,400 metres, barrier 8. Look for it in the orange and green colours, just storming over the top of the lake.
And listen to you out somewhere out in Geelong West, making sure it gets home.
Well, I have had the call-up, Kingy, to help with the parking over in Belmont.
Okay.
So I may be over there just in helping out the brothel owner just in terms of marking out some stuff on the road so that there's not a repeat of the 8-car pile up out the front.
Benny, always a pleasure.
Business was obviously booming there.
Benny, for Curse High, this has been a lot of fun. You're moving into realms I don't want to move into.
No, it's been fantastic. I'm going to go and I'm going to go home tonight and have some non-essential services.
Good to talk, Benny. This has been the Cat Attack podcast for Curse Hire.
Curse Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. CurseHire.com.au.